My name's Paul Tolley, and it's my pleasure, as I do every month, to welcome Mayor Sam Copeland to the studio. Good morning, Sam.
Good morning, Paul. Good to be back.
Yes. Now, I think we start with the good news, and then we move on to the big elephant in the room. We congratulate your Activation and Precincts team for winning the Outstanding Visitor Economy Collaboration Award at the State Business Awards.
Thank you. Yeah, look, they've done a cracking job, and that was really around off the back of the big chill, but they've also been working very hard for tomorrow night's Christmas party in Armidale and the following Friday the 6th in Gyra. But Christmas in the Mall last year was...
The tree is up.
The tree's been up for about a week and a half. But the Christmas in the Mall last year was one of the best events I've ever been to in town. As I've said before, if you wanted to rob a house, it was a perfect night to do it. Everyone was in the mall.
And I can tell you that I got really good reports on it as well. The other thing we should give a pat on the back, the City to Soil program, highly commended in the circular economy category. That's from the New South Wales Environmental Protection Authority.
Yeah. No, we had a win there. In fact, Costa of Gardening Australia was up, and he did a bit of a shout out as well. He was up for the Garden Festival, but he came out and said some great words, did a bit of media for us with that City to Soil program, and a bit of a promo as well. So yeah, kicking the small goals.
And you've had a few of these. I just wish they'd give the award names, make them a little shorter. They're a real mouthful for broadcasters, I can tell you. And by the end of it, you think, I have no idea what that's about. No. But it's good.
Mm.
We've talked a lot about the Weeds Authority, and we broke it on the show. A $1.8 million depot, which was built for them, has been mothballed. Will that be repurposed? Or what's going to happen with the building?
It's for sale. So it'd be a great premises for 2ARM.
We wish we had the money. And unless there's a grant from council?
No, if there was a grant from council, we'd probably buy it ourselves, given we already own, I guess, nominally 47% of it. It's been on the market for about 2 months, and just happened to bump into the agent last night. He said there's been a bit of inquiry where he thought it'd be pretty small. It will be sold at some point, but that's the administrator looking to sell that.
And the other building that they had, which was just along from council, what happens to that? Is that a council building?
Yeah, that's a council-owned building. So we'll just resume that. It needs a bit of work and a bit of tarting up. And there's certainly...
Yes, it does. I've been in there.
But, you know, that would be a great spot for a couple of our teams to move into. So the general manager tells me so. Yeah, all's good there.
It's interesting how many unintended consequences there are of actions, and the falling over the Weeds Authority now brings this new building into play, doesn't it? I mean, all of these things never end in a clean, neat, tidy way, do they?
No, they don't. But having actually worked for, you know, back in the mid-90s, Ernst & Young in the insolvency department there, I can see that this administration... And it's really as a function of having four solvent owners in the four constituent four councils. Means that no one's left out of pocket. So, well, that said, the councils do need to chip in, but you know, no one goes without a meal. All the creditors get paid. Your entitlements are good, et cetera, et cetera. But yeah, that thing, as I said before, was a slow moving car crash.
And we know now the elephant in the room, the withdrawal of $14 million in grant money to Armidale and Seven Glenners Shire councils, which was to complete the rail trail. So my first question, was there any consultation, or was this just presented as a fait accompli?
It was presented as a fait, sorry, a letter came in, as I understand it, to council.
This is because I'm interested in how the government's operated.
Badly. Is the short answer. So I'll do a bit of a roundabout. The letter advised for both councils, but I'll just speak to Armidale, that they didn't have the confidence we could finish the project by the 31st of March, which is true. But that is because they took 13 months. NEMA took 13 months from the 27th of June 2023 until the 17th, I think it was, the 17th of June 2024 to assess whether we could start the project in Armidale or not.
And my understanding is it also took 12 months for councils to get access to the actual land corridor from the state government's transport asset holding entity. And that's the reason I was asking about process, because if you're going to set a date and say we're taking the money away because you didn't start by then, but you're responsible for the fact that no work could start.
Yeah. What can you do? It was absolutely appalling. Look, we received a grant from the federal government, and I think that maybe was announced for council in, say, February or March 2022. The state government legislation to allow access wasn't even in place, really, until the end of 2022. Mm. So that chewed up some time. Actually, it might have been close. And then there was a change in government in 2023, in March 2023, and I think it wasn't until September 2023 that we really could have had access to the line. So really, two-thirds of the time allowed we just couldn't do anything.
Hands tied.
But we notified NEMA about that and said, look, we will ultimately be able to get on there. NEMA is the National Emergency Management Authority that was administering our grant.
Who granted the money,
We said, look, this is happening, so this has been a big delay. A, can we have a time extension? B, can we start it in Armidale? And C, can we use some of that funding for the studies, et cetera, et cetera? 13 months later, no.
So while being careful about imputing motivation and putting words in other people's mouths, do you think it's just a great stuff-up, or do you think government has an idea to repurpose that money? Do we have any idea of the motivation for this?
It's either malicious or it's incompetence.
Let me tell you, in the media, we always say this about government behaviour. It's either devious or it's a stuff-up, and 99% of the time it's a stuff-up. Go for the stuff-up every time. Mm. Don't go for the conspiracy theory.
Yeah, I think that government could have done a hell of a lot better. And as I've
maybe like talking to you about it.
Like talking to us. So in that 13-month period, we would call them at least every 3 weeks, because I kept asking, where are we at? And it was almost like we were becoming a stalker. And then every time we'd get through, there'd be some, oh, yeah, look, we're just happy. And then there'd be a meeting arranged, a Zoom meeting. And you get on, and they've changed the head of the authority. There were three changes in the head of the authority. So we had to keep going back to square one again. So you can put that down to the stuff up side of things. But politically, I think it's absolutely appalling. The feds in the state are asking our region to do the bulk of the heavy lifting in their transition to renewables. Yes. And we, you know, if I'm asked, what have we got from them? Hand on heart, I have to say nothing. In fact, worse than that, we've had things taken away from us. That is actually starting to resonate.
I note in the press release, actually, that the Transnorth people are quoting that the renewable energy zone is really useful to their pitch because the trains can be run on renewable energy, and that when they're going downhill, they'll have regenerative braking so that they can put power back into the grid.
That seems to have nothing to do with the renewable energy zone, but more power to them. I'm happy to go and visit one of their trains this afternoon.
See about them. For the benefit of the listeners, because people lead busy lives and they often get bits of this and bits of that. So I actually have done a little bit of a timeline, and you can sort of correct me if I'm wrong. My understanding is that we start off, money was given to both councils.
Allocated
is the correct term. Thank you very much. Yes, as a grant.
Yes.
To the two councils, 2021, I think Glen Innes first, and then the following year Armidale, but close enough. It was then earmarked for the rail trail project, and has just now been withdrawn. So 8.7 million to Glen Innes 7 in 21, 4.1 to Armidale, and this was all under the Black Summer Bushfire Recovery Program. The council's agreed to put the money towards parts of the New England Rail Trail, which was 210-kilometre walking and cycle path between Armidale and Wallangara, which is the Queensland border, pretty much.
It was actually a 103-kilometre stretch from Armidale to Glen Innes.
That was as far as you got to, right?
No, that's really what the project is thus far. Nothing's been, no conversations have been held with Tenterfield, as I understand it.
All right, that's great, all right. And then the announcement, Minister for Regional New South Wales, that an extensive review had found no viable process had made on the rail trail. Council could not complete the project by June 30th, 2025 as required. Offer of funding revoked. Is that pretty much...
That's in relation to the Glen Innes portion of the funding. So it was the state government was the administrator of that, and the Minister for Regional New South Wales, and she's also the Minister for Agriculture, is Tara Moriarty, and she is the one who has withdrawn the Glen Innes funding.
All right. Mm. What about the Armidale funding?
The Armidale funding, our timing was for it to be finished by... Glen Innes was the end of June, ours was the end of March, and ours was the National Emergency Management Authority. Yeah, they
could either go ahead without the other, and...
Yeah. Okay. Of course they could. And they weren't going to join up. The funding that was... The funding that was given for Armidale of 5.4 is a long way shy of the 21 that we need to do the entire stretch. So anyway,
all right. So that just really lays it out so that people can hear in one place,
yes,
all the background and what's gone on and draw their own conclusions. Mm. Okay, well, what's the space? Is there any likelihood, do you think, of negotiations returning? I might have said Moylan and Joyce are both on the case.
They say
they are.
No, they are. I actually saw some video clip of Barnaby raising it in Question Time. I've seen Brendan Moylan he's made representations, as has Aileen McDonald. So that's happening. So from an Armidale, I can't speak for Glen Innes, but from an Armidale perspective, we have a grant application in for the Precincts and Partnership Program of $21.1 million. That's what our application's for. And that is to do the trail in its entirety from Armidale to Ben Lomond. So that's just the Armidale section, 67 kilometres. We should hear... So they announce different funding rounds every 6 months, and they're due to announce in December. So we should hear shortly whether we've been successful in this round. If not, are we knocked out, or do we, likely get up in another round? So that's one, but then we've got a few other irons in the fire to tweak things as well, to put a bit of political pressure where it's needed. So one of those will come off in due course.
All right, and this is important outside of any local politics around the rail trail via the railway line. This is important, not primarily even perhaps as a resource for locals, because it will bring economic benefit to the region.
Yeah, look, that's true. It will be a great facility for the locals. There's no doubt about that. A fantastic amenity. But when constructed, it'll be a major tourist attraction.
And this is the history of previous rail trails.
That's the history of rail trails everywhere. Mm.
I was interested to learn, going through the agenda for the recent council meeting, council is responsible for 148 bridge and culverts across the region. That's a lot, isn't it?
It is. That surprised me as well. Mm. Yes.
And of course, these are incredibly important, because without them, people who live out of town lose their easy ability to drive or walk or cycle or whatever it is from place to place. This must put quite a strain, because council's looking at the maintenance costs, isn't it?
Look, it is. There's been a big push in the Country Mayors Association, and as a result from all the regional councils, it's the timber bridge replacement program. And we've replaced four timber bridges in the last 2 years, and I think there's only about five or six left. So that's really about, resilience and these things not deteriorating, et cetera, et cetera. There are some councils that now don't have any timber bridges, which is, from a maintenance point of view, is just terrific.
Perhaps from a heritage point of view, less so, because I know some people in particular areas like the...
They do
or
like
see
the
historical value of the bridge.
Yes, mm. yes. Anyway, we will get there. there's a lot on.
Extraordinary figure, isn't it? 148.
148, yeah.
Just for Armidale Regional Council. I was surprised.
That said, we are a big area. We're one of, by area, one of the biggest councils.
And we should make the point that not all of these are over water.
No. And look, there will be a fair few culverts there as well.
I've also been interested to see that your staff have been, or council staff, have been investigating digital smart water meters. Well, and is this, I can see a couple of potential benefits here. One is that staff don't need to go out and manually read meters, and this is the point of the digital power meter as well, electricity meter. But I guess the other benefit may be that you get earlier notification of water leakages.
Yep.
Is that the theory?
It is the theory. So we've not only investigated, but we agreed last night at the council meeting to proceed with this and install these smart meters throughout the water network, so starting in Gyra and working south. So from a council point of view, there are a couple of advantages. The first one you hit on, we don't have to take staff either off the tools four times a year to go and read water meters, and some of those are pretty hard to find, I'm led to believe.
And some are guarded by vicious dogs.
There is a benefit in, we can, in different areas, we know how much water we're pumping into a particular area, and we can see how much is actually being used in real time. And if there's a difference or a delta between those two, then clearly we've got a leak in our network. So that means we're not wasting water, and there will be leaks.
It's the nature of the beast.
It isn't it? But also, you know where the leaks are. You know where to look for them. So, as I said, you can isolate particular. You can measure in particular areas, water in, water out, not the entire network. So that then you go, right, well, clearly those pipes need to be relined or something done.
Do you have any cost recovery sense on this? I mean, you'll expend the money and hopefully get a benefit back?
Not so, yes-ish, in that we probably will be using less treated water because we won't be leaking as much, is number one. There'll be a staffing issue. That's not going to cover the cost of it. The other thing is, like humans, the older those analog water meters get, the slower they become. So they're reading slow. So there is the possibility that we'll actually be getting it. We won't be going backwards anyway, because we'll be measuring more accurately, and so we know what the cost is.
And I guess the feedback is in real time. So does this?
It's every 30 minutes.
I spoke about
from a council perspective. From a user perspective, and I'm not a tech geek, but I do like data. If you're so minded, you can download an app.
Well, that's was my next question. Yeah. Can I monitor my water
usage?
You
can monitor your own water. Mm. So that's great. So likewise, you can see if there's a leak on your property. If you know you've been away for a week, but you're using a lot of water, well, clearly we've got a leak. So that's number one. But number two is, if we're going to be a bit water conscious, or say, inevitably when the next drought comes and we have to go into deeper restrictions, and we say things like, 150 litres per person per day, I don't know what that looks like.
No.
Would
it fill the stream?
Yeah. do we measure in buckets? So it will allow you, if you've got four people in the household and 150 litres, that's 600 litres, I can see on my water meter whether I'm above, below, whatever it is. And because in this term of council we need to make some hard decisions around water security, it does make sense that we first of all address water usage. And again, having good data is going to be important, because this council will need to deliver water security. And a number of the councillors have made a big song and dance about they're here for water security, but it remains to be seen whether they've got the same courage to make a tough decision.
And then it comes down to the how to. It's interesting for people like me, because like quite a lot of people in town, I've got a water tank. I have an automatic pump that if there's water in my tank, my toilet flushes from the tank. My outdoor hoses use my tank water, but it'll also let me know percentage-wise what I'm doing from my tank and what I'm doing from the grid. So that'll be interesting. And does this tie in with the conversation that we had some months ago about upcoming upgrades to water treatment and and sewage and et cetera, et cetera.
It does. I mean, I touched on water security. So
you talked about the age and the capacity of the existing infrastructure.
So this is all part of what's called our integrated water cycle management strategy. So we need to look at not just storage, but treatment and pumping and pipes and
the headroom for growth.
Yes, yes. So yes, it does tie in. You know, the government has and the relevant hydrologists know how much water we need stored per person to be able to cope with, you know, only with minimal water restrictions. Whereas at the moment we're just at the mercy of nature. We've got plenty of water now, but
while we're talking about water, I was interested to find out that the water quality at Gyra apparently doesn't meet the minimum standards under the Australian Drinking Water Guidelines. And I do remember hearing someone talking about that. It became a bit of an issue in the Gyra election campaign, didn't it?
Yes, it did. It really depends on the day up there in Gyra. So the Gyra Water Treatment Plant is really well beyond its years. It needs total replacement. It's a manual system. It's not automated. So that means the different dosings that need to go in are really whimsical. Depending on the water that goes out is regularly monitored, and that's a weekly testing. The quality that goes out, that gets sent off to the EPA and they give it the thumbs up or thumbs down. Depending on where you are within the Gyra water network, that has some issues. So, yeah, the Gyra water treatment plant just needs money thrown at it, because previous Gyra council didn't do it. This council hitherto hasn't been able to afford it. This is what I'm talking about when I'm talking about if people serious about providing water security. If so, you have to spend money, and at best we'll get 50% funding for that.
And I think you're hinting there at the fact that you may complete the water treatment side of it, and you may still find that poor potable water is arriving at homes in various places, and that's to do with the pipe infrastructure, not necessarily just
the
treatment plant.
That's right. But look, the treatment plant's not as advanced as the Armidale treatment plant is. That's automated and has... You know, if there was a lot more investment in the last 15 years in the Armidale water treatment plant. Mm.
So is this on the table? Is the Gyra plant on the table for council, or are you looking at
grant? That's part of that whole water cycle management plan. You might be referring to an item that Councillor Imad put up last night. He actually withdrew it because...
it wasn't that, actually.
Oh, okay.
I just picked it up
from
post-election chatter.
Yeah. Mm. Look, there's no doubt it's not good. This isn't a recent thing, but the solution is imminent.
It's interesting how often you and I end up talking about water, isn't it?
It is.
Malpass Dam, whatever it is. And it is so critical. And, I mean, it pleases me to see council taking our water security seriously. I think so many people in the region got a shock when we had our first ever drought.
Yes.
And time for action.
That's right. Yeah, excellent.
Sam, thanks very much for coming in and chatting with me, as you always do each month. I've been talking to Armidale Mayor Sam Copeland, and we'll do this again in a month's time.
Terrific. Thanks, Paul.
Take care.
Bye.